Well, we are in good faith, in good hope, we're finishing up our little side rabbit trail on humility today. I just love when God interrupts your plans. Stephen and I will sit down and we'll kind of talk about where our series are going and kind of who's preaching when and kind of what we're feeling. And then some little thing will jump out at one of us. And like the last time he did, he was going to do one day and he ended up with 3 weeks. And my little thing on humility, I'm like, I'm going to sneak in a day of like, this is just, I can't leave it. And I knew it was a God thing. And here, 4 weeks later, we're still talking about humility. But I love that we can do that. I love that the Holy Spirit speaks, and he speaks to you, and hopefully speaks through me, and I just pray that we have our Holy Spirit listening ears on today, amen? All right, so we ended here last time. There's going to be very little review this time. We ended with, do you guys remember the exalting and humbling? We went through Luke 14:11, Matthew 23:12, and Luke 18:14. All three of those verses, because we're focusing on what did Jesus have to say about humility. We looked at what Peter and James and Paul had to say about humility, but what did Jesus have to say about humility? And he had a lot to say about humility. And there's this thread that is through all of these gospel places, and multiple times that idea is in Scripture that if you take the initiative, if you humble yourself, then God's going to exalt you. But if you take the initiative and decide that I'm the one that should be exalted, and I'm the subject of the exalting, and I'm also the agent of the exalting, if you decide to exalt yourself, then God's going to step in and decide, all right, and this is a promise in Scripture, then you're going to be humbled. And I don't know about you. I don't know exactly what exalted means, but I like that. And I don't always know what being humbled by God means. I know that that does not sound appealing. Like, we pray those kind of prayers, God, help me be humble, or God, humble me, or whatever. But God's really kind of put the initiative on us. Like, you're going to be humbled one way or another. That's the catch 22. We can't escape humility. And so shouldn't we talk about it a little bit? Because you can't get out of it. Well, preacher, I wish someone would have let me know that if I exalted myself, that God was going to work against me to humble me, because he loves you. And he wants you to walk in his presence and to walk in his power and not be destroyed. So he's going to humble you so that you don't get destroyed, so that you turn your heart back to him. You saw that throughout Israel's history. Just they would go off on a tangent, and we know what we're doing, and then they'd be humbled, and they'd come running back to God again. So I don't want to be humbled. I want to walk humble. I want to humble myself. And so we see this is kind of where we ended off. Philippians 2:8-9 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." This is talking about Jesus. "By becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him." Jesus humbled himself. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every other name. Look at this. He humbled himself by, here I'll hone in even more. He humbled himself by becoming obedient. So kind of the little focus of just these little five things that we've talked about last week and ending with this one. I already put the next slide up there for you last week, but it's about, well, how do we become humble then? What is the kind of low-hanging fruit on that? And this says he humbled himself by becoming obedient. He humbled himself by becoming, the means of how he humbled himself was by becoming obedient. So this is where the last slide that we went to last time. So just a quick review, humility takes the lowest place. These are just some of the things this is just from the Scriptures that we read last week. These are things that we pulled right out of the Scriptures. Humility is willing to serve others. Humility does not look down on others. Humility puts others first. And humility obeys and submits to God. All right, that's our review for today. Here's a quote I got off of the internet, and I tried to find the author, and I couldn't find who wrote it, and so I'm just quoting it, but I did not say it, but I really liked how it was worded. "Humility is submitting ourselves to the will of God and obeying him. It's an attitude of the heart that naturally recognizes that we are lower than God and we owe our lives to Him. That's the essence of humility. Remember, two and three times ago, we talked about Andrew Murray's quote about Him being creator and we're the creature. The more we recognize that we are the created ones and He's the creator. And that's what this is saying here. It's an attitude of my heart. Humility isn't so much me just saying, well, I'm really nothing. It's not the Eeyore syndrome. Well, I guess no one likes me anyway, so I might as well be humble. Right? And that's kind of the idea we get about humility. And yet, we're going to see that that's really not biblical humility at all. It's that God is God, and I'm created in His image. If that kind of humility was biblical humility, the whole, well, I'm really nothing. I'm just nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm dirt. I'm a worm. I'm useless. I'm worthless. If that was real humility, then let's not save any of the babies that we're fighting for, because they're just nothing and worthless as well, right? Wait, that's not what I. If you're nothing and worthless and of no value, then why is anyone else? It's not that. It's recognizing our place. My place is I'm created. I'm part of creation. And I'm created in His image. I'm unique. God formed me in His image. Now, apart from Him, I can do nothing. Apart from recognizing Him as Lord and God and Savior, He's the Creator. When I try to step and do His job, that's when we get into problems. Humility is always measured in terms of belief and submission to God's will. I like that quote. Humility is always measured in terms of belief and submission to God's will. And if we really believe that God is God and we really submit to His will and His ways, if we really follow His word, that's true humility. Obeying Him, walking in His ways. He's going to say, be kind and consider others first. And we're going to follow that. We're going to walk in humility. We're going quick through some of this stuff because we got a lot to cover, because we got a lot of evaluation questions for you. I think you're going to like that, and I think you're going to not like that. The clearest indicator of true humility is a person's obedience to God. This last sentence is important. The humble person lovingly and honestly obeys God. Now, there's times where we unlovingly and dishonestly obey God. What? What do you mean? What I mean by that is we can force fit ourselves into some moralistic, legalistic following all these laws because God tells us that we need to follow all these laws, and it's 100% true, and we need to. But we're doing it because I decided I'm going to do this, and look at how good I am by doing this. So that I love that last sentence on there, lovingly and honestly obeying God. I'm going to obey you, God, because my life would be a wreck without you. I want to obey you, Jesus, because you sacrificed for me. It's the goodness of God that leads me to repentance. I want to obey every commandment that you have because you put it there for my good. Right? That's kind of what humility is saying. And then we're going to end with the verse that we started with in this section here. We focused on different parts of the verse. These are the ones that I look on with favor. Remember, we're talking about favor. This whole thing is really talking about the favor of God. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. That's what that obedience is. Like, humility causes me to tremble at God's word. Not that I'm not a friend of God, that I don't have access, and yet there's so much authority over my life from the Word of God that I can't go by just my opinion. I can't go by popular opinion. I can't go by anything else other than the Word of God. So I won't spend any more time on that, but learn to tremble at His Word. That's a healthy place to be. Okay? Just real quick, some more benefits. These are just some random verses. What's in it for me? Well, here's why we want to be humble. How about this one? When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Now, there is a close tie to wisdom. We talked about that before. Wisdom is needed to get to the favor of God. And here we find wisdom comes with humility. How many just love when you're disgraced? Like, I don't know if that's a word that we even really use much. Like, we know it's not like an ancient word. Like, we know what it means. But like, how many just be like, man, I was disgraced today. That was so awesome. What a great Thursday. This has just been incredible. We don't like disgrace. And God doesn't like us to be disgraced. And don't you love that word in English? Disgrace. When pride comes, we're removed from grace. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Because I'm puffing my own heart up and I'm fighting against the things of God. But with humility comes wisdom. How many of you ever prayed before, God, I really need some wisdom in this situation? Anybody? One of you? You guys have never been through any hard stuff before, or you've not prayed good prayers. God, I need some wisdom. I need some wisdom. I pray that prayer all the time. I'm like, Lord, wisdom, please help. I need wisdom. And here's a great promise for us. The level of your wisdom will increase as the depth of your humility increases. The level of walking in wisdom will increase as the depth and the reality of you walking in humility increases. Oh, you're just preaching. We got to be humble. We got to be humble. Don't you want to be wise? Don't you want to walk in the spirit of wisdom? Then we need to walk in a spirit of humility, because that's a gateway to wisdom. There's a promise right here, guys. Walk in humility, you're going to find wisdom. I love those kind of promises. How about this one? I just wish God would guide me and lead me, teach me. Well, he guides the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. Psalm 25:9. If I'm praying the prayer, God, I need your guidance today. I need to know what to do. Both of these prayers are very similar, wisdom and guidance. I need to know why I'm doing what I'm doing, and I need to know what path. I've got a decision coming up, and I need to know which one of these choices has your heart, God. Well, he guides the humble. I just pray that would just burn into our hearts today. He guides the humble. He teaches them his way. Look at your neighbor and say, he guides the humble. He guides the humble. They're not saying that you're humble. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying he says he does. He guides the humble. He guides the humble. He teaches them his way. What a great promise. How about this one? Before a downfall, the heart is haughty or puffed up or prideful before a downfall. Again, not exactly sure what a downfall is. I know I don't want to experience it. But humility comes before honor. Humility comes before honor. Here's a challenge for us. How many of you little powderkins just been sticking your lip out wishing you'd get kind of just, nobody ever sees all the good stuff I do. Oh, you middle children. Humility comes before honor. Humble your heart. Let God take care of the exalting. My job is to humble. God's job is to lift up. Me push down. God lift up. He'll take care of it. I promise you, you can't see more than him. When you got your powder lip on, you're telling God, God, I see this and you evidently don't. I know what should be done here. Obviously, you don't. We would never say it like that, but that's what we're saying. Okay, deep breath. That one wasn't even supposed to be difficult. Goodness. All right, Proverbs, this is the last one of the rapid fire ones here. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Wow. Humility is the fear of the Lord. It's this posturing of our heart. It's this attitude that God is God and I am not. That should just be our mantra. God is God and I am not. God is God and I am not. God is God and I am not. But we have to. I said it every time that I've said that. We have to pursue wisdom, though, because there's still things we need to make choices on. It doesn't mean that we can't just completely take our hands off and say, God, you just be God. I'm not doing nothing anymore. If you want me to I'm not going to work today. If you want me to have money, then give it to me, because you're God. I'm not interfering, right? Like, I'm not going to go say I'm sorry because if you want, you're sovereign, God. No, we have to do our part. We have to walk in wisdom. And so that posturing of our heart leads us into that wisdom because we become teachable. All right. Andrew Murray says this. Let me just pause one moment here. Just look at me for a second. I'm going to read this quote, but I insinuated that there was, or kind of clued you in that there was going to be a quote from Andrew Murray. The first time, I think it was the very first week that I preached on this. There was a time in my life that I was on a track for destruction in a big, big way. There were some things I thought wasn't fair, and there was bitterness in my heart, and there was revenge in my heart, and there was evil in my heart. Look, guys, I'm just being honest here. And I felt like I was on a fast track to death. But I was going to play this thing out. And God, in his mercy and grace, kind of arrested me in that season. And I felt like there was a fork in the road for me. I'm just telling you my story. You can disagree with it if you want. I'm telling you my story. I felt like I had a choice. And if I stepped one more step down this road, there was no coming back. The cords of death, the cords of bitterness, the cords of just unforgiving hearts and hard hearts and nastiness, I felt them just coiling around me. And I knew I needed to walk the other way as fast as I could. And I felt the Lord drop into my heart humility. I'm like, all right, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I can know what it is, but what is it for me right now? In this moment where I don't even know if I can take my next breath, and I'm feeling my heart, the life being squeezed out of my heart, I'm feeling death come on me. And I'm wanting to walk straight onto that path. I knew I had to pursue humility, and so I think that Andrew Murray guy, I think he has really good stuff on humility. So I grabbed Andrew Murray's book quick, and this is the quote that saved my life. I mean, it was Jesus, but this is the one that God used to connect the dots for me, and I clung on to this for about a year and just hung on to that and just slowly let that junk just melt out of my heart, but it would crop up all the time, and I would just want to go that way, and I'd be like, you know what? No, here's the path to the higher life. Down, lower down. Just as water always seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds men abased and empty, his glory and power flow in to exalt and to bless. Oh, that was like honey to my lips. Jesus, help me. Because I couldn't do it on my own. And I just read that and reread it and reread it and reread it and reread it. And I'd tell Marnie, I'd start venting about something, and I'd say, I'm going low today. I'm going low today. I'm going low today. God fills the low places. God fills the low places. God fills the low places. My heart would be breaking, and my heart would be aching, and my flesh would be screaming. And I'd say, no, I choose. You cannot rob my choice from me. I choose. And today I choose humility. I'm walking, and I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to let my heart go there. I'm just going to, I'm like, you're right, God. Without you, there's nothing. So I had to bring that verse into this series. And that verse just opened up my heart to life. And it just resonates so much with that verse that we read before. Humility brings life and honor. Here we go. Here's the problem. Most people would agree that humility is a good thing. Agree? Got some nods in here. Humility is good. Is it biblical? Yes or no? Is it a good thing? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. B, most people would also consider themselves pretty humble, or at least not arrogant. I'm certainly not one of those arrogant people, right? Where's the disconnect here? Everyone agrees humility is a good thing. Most people think they're pretty humble. C.S. Lewis says, if anyone would like to acquire humility, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. Rocket science there. And a biggish step, too. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you are conceited, you think you're not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. C.S. Lewis is telling us what logic tells us implicitly, that we all agree that pride is bad and humility is good, and we kind of all think that we're humble. right? Like we all don't, I'm not one of the arrogant ones. I'm not one of the prideful ones. And yet there's this reality that needs to soak into our hearts that there's probably more pride in there than you think. There's probably more, we like to color the reality of our lives in the version that makes the best fit to our mind. I say this quote all the time. I can't remember who said it, but we judge ourselves by our motives. Well, if they would have just said, you know, they should know that what I meant by that. We judge us by our motives. We judge others by their actions. We judge ourselves by our motives. We don't give everyone else the benefit of that doubt. We judge them by their actions, and usually by our misreading of their actions. Okay. Goodness. Hannah Anderson says, when we are consumed with God's... We're just doing a little section here. We're going to get to the evaluation in just a minute. This is a little section on kind of humility in other people now, is kind of what we... I didn't put a heading up there for it, but it transitions right here. When we're consumed with God's glory, we forget to worry about our own. I just love that line. When we're focused, that's why worship is so important. Not just the worship with the guitars. I mean worship. I mean worship as a whole. I mean worship as a lifestyle. I mean worship as an attitude of our heart. When we're in the car, when we're doing dishes, when we're, you know, doing the laundry, when we're mowing the lawn, when we're at work, when we're, you know, playing with our kids at Valley Fair. Worship, an attitude of worship. When we're consumed with God's glory, we forget to worry about our own. When our eyes are fixed on Him, we can stop being so enamored with ourselves. And she goes on to say this. And fascinatingly, when we seek God's glory, we'll be able to appreciate God's glory or appreciate it in the people around us. Instead of seeing them as threats to our own glory, we'll see them as beautiful reflections of His. Isn't that powerful stuff? Isn't that the heart of Jesus? Isn't that the essence of what He's saying? Stop worrying about you. Focus on Jesus and love others. When we're more consumed with His glory than we are with ours, you see, we need something to worship. And if we forget to worship Him, it all kind of floats down and just settles somewhere, just like dust in your house. Maybe you guys don't have any, but it just settles right down. And that worship dust lands on us. I'm not going to sing that song in church. Stephen would really have to cut some stuff out. But we end up thinking that we're to be glorified. And we worry about my rights. And we worry about what I want and how I see the world. And you should do this for me. Instead of being consumed with God's glory and wanting to serve others. Andrew Murray again, humility towards men will be the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. Let me read that one again. Humility towards men will be the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. See, I can convince myself that I'm humble before God. I can pour out my heart and I can cry and snot all over the altar and I can just do the things and God, I'm so broken before you. And then I walk out and I treat people, look down my nose at them and treat them arrogantly. The proof is in the pudding, my friends. And humility towards men will be the fruit, the realization, the proof that our humility before God is genuine when I get my attitude and my heart in the right place. And again, it's not the Eeyore syndrome. It is not the Eeyore syndrome. Nowhere in there is it talking about the Eeyore syndrome. It's talking about those men are also created in God's image. All right, let's honor them as such. Pride and arrogance limit us from the presence of God and intimacy with people. Man, pride and arrogance, it'll cut off your forward progress with God, and it'll cut off healthy relationships with people. You'll be left with the dysfunctional ones that didn't work very well anyways. C.S. Lewis says this in Mere Christianity. I love this definition of humility. Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man that he'll be what most people call humble nowadays. He'll not be sort of a greasy, smarmy person who's always telling you, of course, that he's nobody. Probably all you'll really think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. He's defined. I'm going to read that whole quote again just because I love C.S. Lewis. He was so brilliant. And how he words it here, he's saying that we think of a humble person as the ER guy. That's what C.S. Lewis is talking about. He's talking about Mr. Eeyore. Don't think that he's Mr. Eeyore. Well, I guess I'm just a nobody. Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he'll be what most people call humble nowadays. He'll not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person who's always telling you that, of course, he's a nobody. Probably all you'll think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. Then he goes on and says this, if you do dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. He will not be thinking about humility. He'll not be thinking about himself at all. Huh. Isn't that just like a punch in the gut to what my version of humility is? I think of the Eeyore guy as the humble person. And C.S. Lewis is saying, no, you realize that you're not God. But you also pursue wisdom, because humility pursues wisdom. So you're wise. And you see how life works, that God is in control and you're not. And you walk in that humility, and all of you, you're made in his image. So why would I want to attack and fight you? Well, I like you. I like God, and I get to see a part of him in you. It's like Stephen was talking about this morning. I get to see your peace, and then I have peace. Okay, you good? I'm good. We good? All right, let's go on. All right, I have brought this out just in case anybody needs it. So just let me know. If you are listening online or on the radio, this is a first aid kit, because there's a potential for this next section to step on our toes a little bit, and it could just be a little ouchy. So I've got 17 things. I'm sure there's probably 400 or 500. Okay, I just started writing stuff down. So this is just in no particular order. I just wrote things down. How do I know if I'm humble? Like we read the five things, you know. And you'll see some of them repeated in here. And so these are just questions to ask yourself. And my prayer as I was putting this together is that whether you're a note taker or not a note taker or whatever, that if one of these jumps out to you, that you would give the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life in this area. Because in the last three weeks, that the Holy Spirit has highlighted to you that humility is a good thing. And I want to walk humbly before my God. Because when I exalt myself, he's going to humble me. But when I humble myself, I know what's coming. It's like preloading the spring, man. I'm about to get launched. Right? That's what humility does. It preloads the launch pad, man. It cranks that spring down and you get to stand on, ready for takeoff. And God will lift you up. God will elevate you. God will exalt you. And I want to even say this. I was thinking about this morning. The language that popped in my head was finding one of these that I want to work on. And I think, honestly, that's even the wrong language. Because if I'm not humble, these are going to be some checklists. Just some what does humility look like in real life? If I'm not scoring well on one of these, then it's showing that I'm not humble in that area. Well, if I'm not humble in that area, then what am I? I'm prideful in that area. I'm arrogant in that area, or I'm self-righteous in that area. So it's not even that I need to work on it. I need to let something go. Does that make sense? That if one of these jump out to you, you need to surrender. So surrender is the right word, not so much working on it. And it really is working on it. But I just thought of that distinction this morning, that if one of these areas jumps out to you, let your prayer this week be, God, you can do the work in that area. I'll surrender that area. Show me where the pride is. Show me where I'm not humble in that area of my life. All right, here we go. Am I genuinely interested in others? Certain ones. Am I interested in people? If it's true, if what I've heard is true, that people are made in God's image, right? Then I should be interested in people because they're created in his image. So if someone wants to come up and tell me a story, you know, if someone walks into the room, do I walk the other way? Now, all of us introverts, come on, a little grace for us. Like, we just naturally want to walk the other way because we like to be by ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the introvert nature. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you introverts finally do get your batteries charged up enough that you can step a foot out the door and not, right? When you see someone, can you sincerely turn your attention toward them? Can you give them the time of day? Can you take note of what they're doing, what space that they are taking up? Because we're so consumed with what space I'm taking up in the world. Do you even notice what space they're taking up in the world? How are they doing? How are they feeling today? You see, just by being a little more observant, we can have God moments all the time. Holy Spirit, how come you never speak to me like you spoke to Pastor all the time? And he'd just be walking through the store and God would say, that person over there, probably because he was curious about the other people in the store. Well, I'm just worried about me. I'm worried about getting home and doing my grocery shopping. Oh, I can't believe I had to park so far away anyways and grumble, moan. And the Holy Spirit's been talking to me the whole time. Haven't looked up once. Haven't taken interest in other people. You're going to have a lot more God moments when you start walking in humility. I'm not saying change your whole personality, that you got to be interested in people all the time. I'm just saying, at least sometimes, like, give it a shot once, you know, just realize when someone else comes into the space that that's a person too, okay? Do you listen well to others? All these are kind of people ones on this sheet here. Do I listen well to others? The art of conversation is bad to begin with and is slowly fading with smartphones and technology. And it is amazing how people cannot listen well anymore. We're down to kind of like this kind of 8-10 second thing. I notice it. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. This is nothing that's not probably public knowledge, but I get about 9 seconds into my son's stories, and I find the level of pain rising in my body, trying to stay focused. I'm like, here we go. Come on, buddy. You can do this. Come on. Bring it to a close. All right. Tell me that. And so I'll be filling in words for him. Like, you mean this? And kind of like, and I'm like, that's horrible. So I get it. You don't have to, you can send me nasty letters. That's all right. You can do that. I'm working on it, but we get so conditioned. Or when you're in a group of people, someone's saying something. You know what that was? I just thought of something that I want to say back. All you extroverts, you got a problem with this. We want to keep the story going. I do it all the time. And I have not heard what the person has said. Do we sink into the other person, what they're saying, what they're meaning? Do we listen to hear their heart? Do we listen to hear what they're saying? Husbands and wives, we get so used to hearing the same things and we miss out so much of the connection. Children and parents. How's your day? Good. How are you? Fine. You want supper? Yeah. Okay. See you later. Right? How well do we listen? Because it takes humility to listen well. The humble person listens well because the other person is more important. Well, Pastor, I like that verse a lot better about consider others more important than you, like when it's just in our prayer closet. You see, when I get in a conversation, I really like to talk, or I just don't want to listen. I've got more important things to do. Humility says consider other people as more important. It doesn't mean they are more important, but consider them. That's the attitude of our heart, is you're the most important one right now. It's right up here if anybody needs. I took a couple before I came out, so I'm going to keep moving. Do I always have to be right, or do I often have to be right? Some of you people that are really good at memorizing facts and are science-y or whatever, sometimes you just need to have the mercy of God on your life and shut up. Sometimes, often, you're not right. Just listen. Listen more, talk less. Us introverts here, we love that when there's extroverts in the room. We like the talking. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that any of that's bad. Take all of this in context is what I'm saying. And if you leave offended, you're not being humble anyway, so it doesn't matter. Am I quick to apologize? If I had to pass around pieces of paper, write down the date or approximate time, just a wild guess of the last time that you apologized to someone, and you're having to think hard and go back years, Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Apologizing. Humility is the grease that creates the smooth running of these relationships. Friction's going to come. It's just a fact of life. It has to come. It's just by nature. We're not all the same person. So we think of things different. So when you put your foot in your mouth, or when you reacted in a way that you shouldn't have reacted, or when you just spaced something off, stop defending yourself. Just say, hey, sorry about that. Your time is important, and I should have written that down or something, or whatever. I don't know why I picked that one, but how about empathy? Ooh, this is really getting tough now. Can I really see someone else's side of the argument, even if I disagree with them? And this is relationships 101. Can I get your point? Can I really listen to you? So often I just want to tell you why you're wrong, because you're so wrong. But can I listen? Can I empathize with you? Can I at least connect with what you're feeling about? You're feeling frustrated. You're feeling hurt. You're feeling rejected. You're feeling, you know, overwhelmed because I did this and said this and told you you have to do this or whatever. Can I empathize with you, even if I think that even if I disagree with what's going on right now, can I empathize with you? It takes humility to do that. You have to be humble to do that. Do I serve others? We talked about this one last time. Do I serve others? Well, yeah, I serve others all the time. Who do you serve? That's what we said last time. Who do you serve? Well, do I serve everyone? Do I serve those who can't do anything for me? Do I serve those who I would consider, quote, air quote, lower than me? Do I serve? If it's been a long time since you've served someone, Houston, we have a problem. Do I serve without recognition? We already talked about this today. But do I continue to serve because I love it? Pleasing the heart of my Father. And I don't care about recognition. And we're all human. We all want to be encouraged. We all want to be recognized. But will I keep serving without recognition? Page 2. Am I teachable? Yeah. If you had to rank your score of humility on the amount of times that you say, yeah, I know, and each time that you say, yeah, I know, you get deducted 10 points. Some of us, we'd be way in the negative territory here. I'm raising my hand. Am I teachable? Am I teachable? Man, we can learn all the time from people. Am I teachable? I need to be humble if I want to be teachable. Teachable and humble go hand in hand. Teachable, prideful are opposites. Am I defensive? Ooh, these are really two, but we kind of lumped them into one. Do I get defensive easily? Remember, last week, we said that insecurity is the enemy of humility. Insecurity, that's why you can't be an Eeyore. You cannot be an Eeyore and be truly humble, because then you'll be insecure. Well, nobody loves, right? Eeyores are not humble. They're just broken. Don't be an Eeyore. Don't be defensive, because everyone, I said it last time, it is not an overstatement. Everyone is insecure. Look at somebody right now. Just point at them. Say, you're insecure. We don't even like doing that, but we are. We all are insecure on some level. And we're all hopefully, prayerfully working on that, giving it over to God, getting a God identity. See, when I know I'm loved, when I know I'm a child of the Father, when I know Jesus is interceding for me, when I know the Spirit fills me and empowers me, I don't have to be so defensive. I was going to say, I don't have to be defensive. We're probably always going to be a little bit, but I don't have to be so defensive. Can I listen to criticism from people that love me? For crying out loud, I picked the low-hanging fruit here. You're going to get criticism from people that genuinely dislike you and want to see your ruin. And some of us can't even take criticism from people that love us and want to see the best for us. Wow. I'm just, raising my hand here. How are we ever going to succeed? How are we ever going to walk with a Christ-like attitude if I get so defensive with even the people in my family that have proven that they love me? When they say, hey, maybe we should look at this area of your life, and I'm like, argh. Humility is going to be a long trek for us, Bubba. Do I boast? Don't talk about it. Now, again, tell stories, live your life, have fun, enjoy. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the boasting in the sense of, I have to tell you what I did because I need that. I'm not talking about the boasting of, dude, you should see how much I lifted the other day. That's harmless and fun. Do that kind of stuff. Boast that. Boast in good storytellings. Boast how you accomplish something. That's great. Boasting for the sake of, that has to puff me up. Can you walk in the room and you were going to tell a big boastful story, and if everyone else is telling their story and you don't get a chance to tell yours, are you good? Can you walk home? Or not walk home, but walk out and go home and be good? If you're good, then you're good, right? If you're angry that you didn't get to share your boast, that's the wrong kind of boasting. Or vice versa. Do I have a low image of myself? We hit this already today, the Eeyore. Either one of these is not humility done well. Do I take responsibility for my actions and choices and feelings? Or is it their fault and your fault and that chair's fault and the room's fault? Again, this is a process and this is maturity. We're not going to nail all. We're just picking on some things because humility is so hard to define. I mean, it's not, but it is. What does it look like in real life? We got one more page and we're done. Do I have to have the last word? If you do, your humility score is very low. And I'm just going to say, putting this out there, sign language is a last word. Gestures, eye rolls, I don't care what it is. That's a last word. How do I treat those who are closest to me? Those who know you. John Maxwell always used to say, my definition of success is those who know me best love me most. And so many of us, home is our safe place. We get home and everything comes down. I can be myself at home. And sometimes myself is, right? Be quiet over there. So am I treating those who are on my inside circle? Am I treating, and it's easy to lash out at them because nothing's at stake, but honestly, everything's, right? Everything's at stake. We can't continually treat those who are close to us like that and expect them to stay close to us. How do I treat those that are serving me? I love this one. How do you treat your, I suppose gas stations don't really pump your gas much anymore. We went to New Jersey. Do you know it's illegal for you to pump your gas in New Jersey? I did not know that. And judging by the young kid that was slamming my door back shut, he figured out that I didn't know that. I'm like, I don't need you. He's like, you can't. I'm like, no, I always do. You can't. I'm like, oh, okay. It's the law. All right. Well, have at her then, I guess. I don't know. So that's New Jersey. So how do you treat the people? How do you treat the people that are serving you? How do you treat, you know who serves you? Janitors, policemen, doctors. How do I treat those that are serving? Those who kind of by positionally, not by their value, but just positionally are lower than me. You know, the guy out in the park that's, you know, picking up the papers and scooping up the dog poop, you know, how do I treat that guy that he's more valuable than me, like as the scripture tells me to? Humility is a lot nicer when we just define it by quotes from other people. It's a lot uglier when we start putting it into real life. Two more. Do I often find myself on the wrong side of God's word? Do I spend a lot of time justifying and saying, well, yeah, I know I need to work on that. You see, if you define humility by obedience to God and his word, then that's really important. And guys, we are all in process. This is not a guilt thing. This is not a condemnation. This is just a, am I obeying his word? Like, let's just use that as a great metric for an area that the Holy Spirit needs to work on. Not to pile on a bunch of, oh, you turkey. Like, that's not the goal at all. The goal of this is to uncover where I'm fooling myself. So do I find myself on the wrong side of God's word? And the last one, am I hungry for God and pursuing him? Because at the core of humility is you are God and I'm not. I'm dependent on you and I owe you my life. That should create a desire in me to pursue him. If I'm not pursuing him, that means I'm satisfied. And if I'm satisfied, that means I'm getting everything I need from me. And you see where that trail goes. It just goes on and on. So again, just a litmus test. Where's my hunger for God? We all go through seasons. We all go through times where, I can't even get myself to come to church. Boy, I prayed today. That was miserable. Like, I get it. We're human. It's okay. But if we're just walking through a list, I can't leave these out because these are really important. Where's my hunger level for the things of God? Or am I just really satisfied with me? Because pride is really satisfied with me because I'm all that and a bag of chips too. Any of you that were around in the early 90s for that saying? I think I have one more slide. This is by Ray Ortland. The best way to get ready for your future is to walk humbly, fruitfully, and cheerfully with Christ right where you are. Through the years, he'll give you a front row seat for watching him fulfill his purpose for you. I spend just a little bit of, I'm done now, but I spend just a little bit of time on Twitter, and I only have pastors. It's all spiritual leaders and pastors. And so often it's just all like quotes from their sermon or the, you know, just little, it's less than 144 characters, whatever it is. So they're just short. I like it. So I don't have to read a lot, but I can just go in and just kind of get encouraged or discouraged if they're fighting, whatever, being nasty. But most of the time it's just great little nuggets, or they'll quote someone else, or they'll put an encouraging thing on there. And Ray Ortland is one of the guys that I follow. He's a pastor who just retired this year, or at the end of last year, in November, I think. Like 50-some years of ministry or something like that, or maybe it was 50 years. Pastored in Nashville, and he's written some books, and I'll read some quotes of his once in a while. And I loved this quote. And Ray decided with a few other pastors in Nashville, probably, I was trying to find the exact timeline because I don't know it for sure, but I think about 15 years ago, that he and a group of pastors from different denominations were going to pray together or send each other a text every week. And every week for 10 or 50, whatever, 15 years, whatever it's been, they have not missed one week that these pastors have not encouraged one another. Hey, brothers, so happy to serve with people like in their different denominations. They disagree, for crying out loud. Come on, you can't do that, can you? And week after week, and they'll do it publicly a lot of times, someone will tag the other four. I think there's five of them altogether, five or six. They'll tag the other ones and say, hey, never served with such a great, great man of God in my life. I would give anything for you guys. One of them, I think it was their wife got cancer 2 years ago. People from the other churches came to that church and filled all the positions because he was gone and some of their people had to go do other things. Different pastors filled the pulpit. Different people came and led teams because some of their leadership was helping. I forget what it was, but it kind of really hit the church kind of hard. So the other four or five churches all pitched in to help that church. Are you serious? Does that really happen today? It does. It does. And you know what it takes? It takes humility. Takes me saying, hey, I love my church, but I love you guys, other people out there too. Let's do stuff together. Let's connect our hearts and work for the kingdom of God. Amen? Well, Lord, I pray for opportunity this week for you to expose things in our heart. God, we know that humility comes with a built-in blessing. God, favor and life and wisdom and health. And Lord, we just want to walk in humility, God. And Lord, if we don't want to walk in humility, help us to want to walk in humility, because we know it's just our pride talking. It's our flesh talking. Help us to want to be humble, and then help us to know how to. I just pray that you'd expose areas of our heart that need the touch of the Holy Spirit on them. And we just thank you for your presence today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Prayer teams, come on up.